I'm going to continue from where I left off the last 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to read the same scripture, 4th chapter of Ephesians. And I'll begin with the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And these unities, this every Christian that's been born of the Spirit of God, I'm not leaving anyone out. You may not know it when you're first born, but the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. These 7 unities. There is one Lord, or one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And before I even get started, every one of these unities, now listen to me, every one of these unities is Christ Jesus. There's one body, and we as members, the Holy Spirit, it puts us in that body when we are saved by the Spirit of God. Sir. It places us in where God has predetermined that we should be.
Sir.
We are part of that body, and whatever calling that we have concerning to build up the body of Christ, God gives us the utensils or the tools to perform that. We have no excuse. But in that one body, there's one body, and that body is Christ's body, and He's the head. He's over it. The fullness of the head of Christ is, I'd say, revealed to the world through the body of Christ. That's how important our walk is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and where we're placed in that body. And, you know, God has made us, or given us, many, many, many promises in the Word. And every one of these promises is to the body of Christ. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's a gift of God. Salvation is only given to those that's name was written in the foundation of the world, but are written in the book before the foundation of the world, and they will become, when they are in this world, a member of that body of Christ. They must, because God said it. We're placed in that body because God promised us that. He promised us faith, not works, will keep us.
Yeah.
That's a promise of God in Romans 4, 20 and 21. And one thing about it, God cannot lie.
Exactly.
What He says must come to pass in due time at His will and pleasure.
Amen.
at His will and pleasure. But we're kept by faith, not works. The Bible plainly states that. We are all possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, God made man in His image. And we are in the image of God. We have a soul. We have a spirit and a body. And you know that spirit controls where that eternal body that's given to us at the resurrection, it's given to us at the resurrection where it will spend eternity. It's decided by whether you are, which spirit you're possessed by. If you're possessed by Satan's spirit, you're lost. And if you've been born of the Spirit of God, as John 3 states, you must be born, Christ said you must be born again, and you will be born of the Spirit of God if you're one of His elect. I can't put it no plainer than that. That's it. And all that tears people all to pieces. You know, friends, they don't want to even talk to me about the Scriptures. Well, you take everything for what the Bible says. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to add to or take away because I don't want the plagues of this book to be cast upon me.
Exactly.
A man with any sense ought to realize that. But the Spirit of God is what gives us or places us in the body of Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. A believer's position in Christ as promised to him. There's no one can take it away from us. Nobody give it to us but Him, and nobody can take it away because He said He and the Father are one.
Amen.
That's what He said. That's the position we are as believers in Christ. You know, we are the richest and the most blessed people in the world.
Amen.
And I believe we complain more than you know, it talks here about our hope, you know. You know the reason that we don't see our hope fulfilled? We hope for wrong things. We hope for wrong things. If Lord would only give me $1 million, it'd make a fool out of you. It would. That's why there's not very few Christians millionaires. Make a fool out of them. I mean, that's just plainly. But we're our position in Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 2:9-10 tells us that we are placed in that body by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will perform the work in which He calls us to do.
That's right.
God promised His people and His people only life eternal.
Amen.
Life eternal. With Him.
Yep.
With Him. In Titus 1 and 2, He promises us life eternal that we will see in His time at the resurrection. We will be resurrected, receive a body likened unto Him when He come out of the tomb. And let me tell you something, we'll ever live to be with Him. That's what the book says.
Amen.
And I believe it. The Bible promises a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, sir.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what He told us to pray in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the last two verses. Come quickly.
Yeah.
How many times do we do that? We get sick and think we're going to kick a bucket, and we go plumb crazy. And the greatest day of a Christian's life is the day that this soul passes out of this body and we see our Savior face to face. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. What you used to worry about things in this life. You know, I know today there's more kids going hungry, there's more people going hungry than ever before. I never did think I would see this country get in the shape it's in the 72 years that I've lived. But I'm telling you, the Bible, Christ said, when you see these things take place, rejoice. Time is near, even at the door. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And I believe we're there. If we're not, shame on us. But He said it would wax worse and worse till He come. Come, Lord Jesus. Pray that prayer. Look for it. See, you know why that we forget about the promises God made us and worry about things on this earth is because we don't keep our mind on heaven and heavenly things. We are got too many fingers in worldly things. The most blessed people in the world, the richest people in the world. I often use the example, you know, God's got, He's got a cow, He got cattle on 1,000 here. You know, I love beef. But He taught me to love deer meat better than He did beef. And I can't do without deer meat. He always provides. Anytime you want a deer meat, holler at me. I've got it in the freezer. God blesses His people beyond measure. You cannot count worldly pleasures and worldly blessings as blessings from God. They turn sour every time. But the promises that He made us, the life that He has set before us in eternal life, they is nothing. And we do not have the words to explain. To explain the beauty and the things that He has in store for us in life eternal. We can't imagine that in this earthly body that's full of sin and unrighteousness. But a spirit to keep yourself in contact constantly with God, even though we're in a corrupt body, keep your mind on heaven and heavenly things and the promises He made in this book right here. I can't put it any plainer than that. But we're all in this body together. And we make up the body of Christ. Only those that believe make up the body of Christ. Right. They won't be no false gospel people in the body of Christ. They won't, and I'll tell you one thing, there won't be no good people in the body of Christ either. We will be when we receive a body likened unto His, we come out of the tomb. But our righteousness is as filthy rags because of the body we live in. Because we was born and conceived in sin.
Yes, sir.
Then but there's one body, only one. And that's Christ's body. We do the work that He left for us to do when He ascended into the heavens. And we will do it. We may grumble about it, growl about it. We may not even do it in love, but we'll do it. You've never been chastened, you're chastened of God. I know, I've been there several times. But there's one body, and there's only one Spirit.
Amen.
One Spirit. There's Spirit of Antichrist, but there's only one Spirit that can place you in the body of Christ and give you eternal life. Christ talked about in the third chapter of John, because He is part of Christ. It's Christ's Spirit. One Spirit. And you're possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ in that Spirit. The Bible teaches us that this Spirit, it seals us. We are sealed in the body of Christ until the day of redemption, when we're brought up to be with Him. And it says to grieve not the Spirit of God. We do every day. He makes intercessions for us. You know, we don't even have sense enough to pray. He makes intercessions for us. We don't have sense enough to pray. Because our minds are not on heaven and heavenly things constantly. Seals us till the day of redemption, and it teaches us, listen to me, it teaches us all things concerning Christ. John 14, it teaches us all things concerning Christ. All we need to know, the Holy Spirit teaches us. It is a teacher. God said He would send the Comforter. That's how He comforts us. He teaches us all things concerning Christ. And that's what we need to know.
Yes, sir.
Because He's all in all. He's a God-man. He's God incarnated into the flesh. He's the invisible God made visible. He's all to us. We're all in Him. And then we're made. We have one hope. There's only one hope. One hope of your calling. What is your hope? Do you have worldly hopes? They'll vanish. They'll decay. If you even receive them, they'll decay and rot. But if your hope is in heaven and heavenly things, you'll be a blessed man, and you'll enjoy life more. Since God saved me, I've had hundreds of people ask me, why do you laugh and smile all the time? I said, I've got something to laugh and smile about. And I have. Even when I'm sick. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That should be our motto. And you know something? These churches, they'll put up billboards on the wall, tell them what they believe. All they need to do is put from Ephesians 4 to 6, and it'll cover everything you need to know. They need to believe that. They need to believe this. They need to believe there's one body and one Spirit. And that hope, what is hope? Everybody's got hope for something. Trouble is, our spiritual hope is grounded out because of things we hope for in this life, physically, on this earth. We let that distract us because we don't keep our minds on heaven and heavenly things. I used to. my spare time, I was in the woods hunting. That was the Indian in me, I guess. You know. But God taught me, He taught me how to use that time in the woods. I have prepared more sermons sitting in a tree stand or in an old tree house that I've built laying there reading the scriptures. God has given me more sermons at those places than anywhere else. Utilize your time. Most of all, keep your mind on Him. He's worth keeping your mind on.
Yes, sir.
Now He is. But hope is a promise. That's the reason I wrote these things, some of these, just a few of these things that God promised us. But hope is a promise made that must, this is a heavenly, this is a godly hope. A promise made that must come to pass, good or bad, because God said it. And you can't say that about earthly hope. Now, I've got confidence in that Toyota truck that I bought old Princeton Joe. But it has failed me before. But a promise that God's made concerning the salvation of the soul has never failed me. When I think about it and read about it, it lightens me up. It gives me strength to go on. It gives me strength to tell everybody about this God I possess. And the reason I possess Him, He made me possess Him. I had no choice. When the Lord saved me, let me tell you something. The only reason Paul was the chief of sinners, I hadn't been born yet. And I'll just be honest with you. Salvation is the greatest gift that man can ever receive. I want to tell you this about my grandpa. He was 5'2". He was a small man. Lived on a farm in the head of Key Rock. Had to walk in and walk out. We had horses, put up hay for a living. Well, anytime the church doors at Rock Castle was open on Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, 3.5 miles. Grandmother would make whoever was there go to church with her. Granddad wouldn't go. He said, I don't want to go down there and listen to one of these jack legs of preachers. That's what he'd say. And he was right, probably, you know. But I was 8 years old. Me and him put up hay all day long. I drove the horses, the wagon. And then when we got to the haystack, we piled hay around the pole. And when it got so high I couldn't get on top of it to tamp it around the pole, we had a ladder we put up, an old wooden ladder. But me and him had put in hay all day long. All day long. Well, we quit about right before dark. Grandmother made us go to church. There were about 20 of us walking to church, 3.5 miles. It was 3.5 miles to church. We had to walk. Unless somebody come along in a truck and picked us up. There were so many of us, they had to have a pickup truck to haul us off. Is everybody in the head of Key Rock? Went to church. Well, I sat in the back of the church with the boys. And Granddad, when he'd get up in the morning, wore them old long-handled underwear, you know, red. But the second thing he put on was his pistol. And I asked him one time, I said, Grandpa, how come you carry that pistol all the time? He said, I'm a small man. He said, I'm just 5'2". God made little men, He made big men. And in between, He made notchers. And he said, I'm a little man. That's what he'd say. And he taught me how to shoot that pistol. A model 32 T Smith & Wesson revolver. And he said, when I die, son, this pistol's yours. Well, we went to church that night. And they was given, you know, invitation. You know how they get the invitation. And the mess boys were sitting in the back and heard the back door open. At the church in the auditorium. I looked and it was Grandpa. First time I ever seen him in a church. He wouldn't even go to a funeral. He walked up to the preacher. He reached and he took the belt off and he handed him that pistol. He said, "I don't need it no more. I found a friend." And he said, "His name is Jesus. And he's taken care of everything." And he turned and walked back out of the church. The Lord said, he was listening to the radio at the house, an old radio we had. That was in the 50s, early 50s. And he heard the gospel. And he walked all the way down to testify that God had done a work in his life. And he handed him my pistol. I never did like a preacher after that. Until the Lord saved me. The only two men ever liked after that, when the Lord saved me, I loved Henry Mahan and Earl Cochran because they preached the truth. I seeked them out because I know they preached the truth. And I always got a straight answer from them because they were God-called men. 2 weeks later, my granddad died and he buried him, had a heart attack. The Lord knows what He's doing. And He saved those that His name He wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And Granddad's hope was after that, we put up hay for 2 weeks after that. And his hope was in Christ Jesus. And he'd preach to me, and I'd look at him, I'd say, "Will you go get my pistol back?" That's all thing I was interested in, was that pistol. Never did get it back. And the preacher's name was Frank Estep. Dr. Frank Estep. But he never did give my pistol back. And I never did like preachers till the Lord saved me. But God knows what He's doing. He's sovereign in all things. And our hope is in Him. The Bible speaks of a living hope in 1 Peter 1 and 3. It talks about a blessed hope in Titus 2, 11 and 13. It talks about a good hope in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16. It talks about a better hope in Hebrews 7, 18 and 19. If you want to know what hope is, read the 6th and 7th chapter of Hebrews. It tells you exactly what hope is. And our hope is in Christ Jesus and Him alone.
Amen.
The men that believe the truth. I'm going to have to move on. I got to get Joe up here. And then there's one Lord. What is a Lord? What's the Lord of your life? It's He that controls your life. That's what a Lord is. God's Lord of His people. It's a title of sovereignty and kingship over all things in your life. That's your God and your Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've had people tell me, and I have relatives right today, "Oh, He's my Savior, but He's not my Lord." Then He's not your Savior.
That's it.
When He's Savior, He becomes your Lord. He becomes like old Thomas when he seen the nail-scarred heads and the side. He said, "My Lord and my God."
Amen.
That's what salvation is. Our hope's in Him and He's our Lord. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, Paul declared the Lordship, who He was. Hebrews 1, 1 and 3, the invisible God made visible. Our Lord. Then in 2 Timothy 3, all scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it tells us how depraved we are. But it also tells us what takes care of that depravity. And it's only one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then there's one faith. You could preach a week on that right there. One faith. It Hebrews 1, I want to read that and then I'll finish up. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Though faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by Him, by the Word of God, so that things which we see were not made of things which do appear. That substance is the chief ingredient in your life. Now, faith is a substance. The chief ingredient in your life is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the substance of your life. You are not born of the Spirit of God unless all your faith, whether it be little, very little, or much, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as you hear the gospel preach, as you assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and let the Holy Spirit teach you concerning Jesus Christ. That's how you grow in faith. Hearing the gospel. Just hearing the gospel is not a one-time thing. It's from the time you first heard it until you see that faith, that man that you have faith in face to face. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one baptism. It's baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though we do honor water baptism because Christ told us to. We baptize in water, submerge, because Christ declared us to. He told us to. And that we do that in remembrance of Him until He comes. That's how important His second coming is. And then there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's no way that you can separate Christ and God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and we came and dwelt, and it came and dwelt among us. And we beheld only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth. 1 John 1 and 3 and verse 14. He is our God, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God, my Savior, my hope, my baptism. I was baptized with the Spirit of God, which is the third person Trinity of Christ Jesus. But because if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Or you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Christ said. I can't explain that, but I do know I have a soul, a spirit, and a body likened unto Christ. That's the only way I can explain the Trinity. And I will be complete again when I put this body away and take a body that He gives me at the resurrection. That's how important these unities are. We must believe them and trust in them, because every one of them is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, we thank you for the time we've spent together. We thank you for the giving us the knowledge and the wisdom, the understanding to speak thy word. Father, bless those that have bereavement. Heavenly Father, we ask thee to be with the ones here in the chapel that's not well. And Heavenly Father, we ask as Joe comes before us, give him an unction of the Holy Spirit to where he can speak the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ to where even a child can understand. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.